more TV series are coming, unless companies, including ABC and Fox, agree to pay ransom demands.
And a last-minute agreement averts a Hollywood writers' strike as the Writers Guild of America and the TV networks have been negotiating a current contract which was set to expire at midnight Pacific time, but the two sides have reportedly agreed to a new three-year deal. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Good morning. This is Tony Clark, and this is Some Things About Money. It's 11:03 a.m. on Tuesday, May 2nd. We're here in Flemington, New Jersey. We're at 68 degrees currently. And the weather today will be partly sunny with a high near 71, breezy with a west wind 11 to 21 miles per hour with a gust as high as 34 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 46, west wind 8 to 11 miles per hour. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 64, west wind 13 to 16 miles per hour. And Wednesday night, patchy frost after 3 a.m. Otherwise, partly cloudy with a low around 38. Thursday, chance of showers mainly after 5 p.m. and patchy frost before 8 a.m. Otherwise, partly sunny with a high near 60. Northeast wind 5 to 9 miles per hour, becoming southeast in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation 30%. And Thursday night rain, low around 49 degrees, chance of precipitation 80%. The weekend looks like we're going to have rain. Rain on Friday with a high near 67. Friday night, some more showers, mainly after 8 p.m., a low around 51. And on Saturday and Sunday, chance of showers, partly sunny, in the highs in the low 60s. Chance of precipitation 50%. We'll have a couple commercials, and then we'll be back with Joe Patton with Some Things About Money.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, handyman extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
And we're off. Yes, this is a voice from the past, Joe Patton, certified financial planner, Patton Heidi and Associates. And you are listening to Some Things About Money. We are happy to be back after a hiatus of a couple of weeks. I know Tony was over with Michelle Heidi at the Women's Business Leadership Forum that was held at Hawk Point. And that was a very, very successful event. Quite a lot of positive feedback on that on Facebook over the past week. So hope you were there. If not, look forward to seeing you there next year. I guess we should start, Tony, by talking about a couple of events that are coming up. We have some card clubs, the Spring Fling Card Club for First Bank. That's going to be Wednesday, May 10th. And then in June, we have the Hunterdon County Chamber June Card Club Mixer at Unity Bank in Clinton. That will be fun as well. And not to be outdone, we have Hunterdon County Community Day, Saturday, June 3rd. That will be from 11 to 4 p.m. at the County Fairgrounds, South County Park, on Route 179 in Ringos. I've done that before. That is a lot of fun, especially for the family. You know, if the kids like animals, well, you're going to see plenty of them. So I think what we'll do is talk a little bit about what the markets are doing as we kick off the show. The Dow Jones Industrial Average right now is a little bit higher, slightly green, up 14 points. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ are just about flat. Over in Europe, the FTSE is up 0.6%, 43 points. The DAX is up 0.4, up 52. The CAC up almost 0.6%, up over 30 points. Oil prices currently are $48.57 a barrel. That's up 27 cents a barrel, about a half a percent. Looking over at metals, gold basically unchanged. Silver, copper, a little bit down. 10-year Treasury yield right now is sitting at 2.314%. So a lot of movement in the NASDAQ. There's a lot of technology driving the NASDAQ to just about record levels. We were at a record earlier today before it started to pull back, and much of that is expectation of Apple earnings. And Apple earnings, by the way, will take place after the market close. And you're really scheduled to report fiscal second quarter 2017 results, which are expected to show a modest mid-single-digit year-over-year growth for both revenue and earnings per share. Specifically, FactSet consensus estimate for quarter number two revenue is about, $53 million plus, up 5% year-over-year. And the earnings per share consensus is about $2.02. That's up 6% year-over-year. Now, in our view, the key factors to watch are, let's see, drum roll please, iPhone. As in prior quarters, the main focus for investors will be the strength of the iPhone unit volume and average selling prices in the quarter. Thus far, we view the data points for the iPhone ecosystem as somewhat mixed, as supply chain vendors, i.e. chip makers, have reported mostly inline results. Yet large U.S. wireless service providers have reported record low smartphone upgrade rates. Gross margin? Additionally, we will focus on the company's margin profile, given a number of macro events in the market. For example, a key component across all of the company's products is flash memory, which is currently supply constrained due to strong global demand and limited manufacturing capacity. As such, higher input costs both now and for quarter number three have the potential to crimp gross margins and thus earnings per share. Services, well, Apple services business, example, iTunes, Apple Pay, etc., has become the company's second largest revenue segment, surpassing Mac for the first time at approximately a little bit around 10% of the total sales. While relatively small, services revenue is growing about 20% year over year, and its own, would be considered a Fortune 200-sized company. So it's amazing when you just break out that alone. Huge revenue producer. Beyond the second quarter's earnings report, we believe there are upcoming events that could act as a catalyst for the shares. Specifically, the company's annual Worldwide Developer Conference is scheduled for June 5th through the 9th, where we anticipate updates to the company's four key software platforms, Watch, iPhone, Mac, and TV. Additionally, while there are still a few details, we believe the anticipation for significant upgrades to the 10th anniversary iPhone, also termed iPhone 8, this fall could provide a healthy upgrade cycle heading into fiscal year 2018. So all things Apple and technology today. Let's see, what else do we want to take a look at? Housing. Of course, everybody's been focused on housing of late. Despite 7 years of recovery, housing is still not back to meeting demand. Over the last 2 years, the rate of U.S. household formation has averaged 1.3 million, according to Census Department data. Over the last 2 years, the rate of new home construction has been 1.14 million, according to Census Department data. The implication in the numbers above that I've mentioned, pretty simple. New housing construction has been growing at a rate of about 8% per year over the last few years, but the industry is still not up to meeting demographic demand. The excess supply created during the household bubble, well, that has long been reabsorbed. Millions, the millions of units sitting on bank balance sheets was always a myth. Now, new and existing home prices have been gaining a bit more traction as the markets get tighter, especially as potential buyers react to the prospect of interest rates likely going higher. So, so far this year, existing home prices through quarter number one have posted an average gain of about 7% as compared to the 6% median price gains in 2016 and 2015, and that's according to data from the National Association of Realtors. Household formation, well, you know, refers to one or more individuals living in a single housing unit. Thus, when kids leave their parents' home, they form their own household. Clearly, there is a backlog on this front, given the record number of young people still living at home. Although basement home improvement business has done extraordinarily well during that period of time. Tony's not looking at me. She's reading other stuff. So I think what I'm going to do is try to catch her in not paying attention, which is almost impossible to do. And I think what we'll do is take our first break of the show. You are listening to Some Things About Money.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And we're back. You are listening to Some Things About Money. This is Joe Patton with Tony Clark. I am a certified financial planner with Patton Heidi & Associates. We are currently at, 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. And if you would like to take advantage of a consultation, you can give us a call at 908-713-6600. and we would have a nice meeting with you in the conference room talking about your goals, your concerns, your time frame, your dreams, your risk tolerance, your tax situation, all of those things that you need to know in making informed decisions about your financial life. And we're pretty nice people. I think, you know, between Michelle and I, we have about 60 years of experience doing this in all different capacities, primarily on the educational front. I think I've mentioned once or twice over the years that both Michelle and I were part of the American Express Financial Advisor Financial Education Services Group, where we would go in and do all sorts of interesting workshops on various topics for the leadership all the way down to the rank and file employees of some companies that you may have heard of, like IBM and Exxon and GlaxoSmithKline and Kraft Nabisco and whatnot. And that's a service that we continue to offer to small businesses right here in Hunterdon County. And it's a wonderful opportunity for those businesses that might be a little bit tight on cash these days, yet would be looking for another benefit to provide to their people. Financial education is not just for the rich. In fact, you know, if you would like to learn more, that knowledge in and of itself will take you a long way to developing your own wealth. And let's not even forget the work that we do, especially the work that Michelle does in teaching financial literacy to children. So, you know, that might be something that you would be interested in. So give us a call again at 908-713-6600. And learn more about financial education for both your employees or perhaps your school. Okay, let's see. It's May. Now, you remember the old adage, sell in May and go away? Well, you know, that is an old market adage, and it does incorporate the idea of seasonal patterns in the equity markets, where an investor sells stock in May and returns to equity markets in November. Historically, markets tend to see more volatility and lower return patterns during the May through October timeframe, as witnessed in some of the FactSet tables that are available. We're looking at them, and in our opinion, however, the sell in May philosophy is not a proper investment strategy for the long-term investors, and introduces timing issues and potential trading costs that most are ill-equipped to incorporate properly. We believe investors are better served following a properly diversified strategy based on risk and time horizon that is consistently followed throughout the year. Now, with that said, the seasonality concept does provide interesting market information and could help set the table for performance expectations over the coming months. Additionally, from a relatively recent standpoint, investors would not have been better serve selling stocks in May. As an example, May returns in the S&P 500 index have been positive by 1% or more over the last 4 years, and positive in 7 of the last 10 years. Nevertheless, June typically does prove to be one of the most difficult months for stocks from a seasonality perspective, as stock prices have only been positive 40% of the time over the last 20 years. And again, that's according to Bespoke Investment Group, who's done the research on this. From a longer-term perspective, and according to Bespoke, $100 invested in the S&P 500 during the November through April timeframe, going all the way back to 1928, would now be worth $4,270. Comparatively, $100 invested during the May through October timeframe would now be worth only $257. Without providing all the dollars and cents, this trend holds true over the last 50 and 20 years as well. Regardless, the seasonality patterns, we believe stock prices will be heavily dependent on the direction of fundamentals and corporate America's ability to grow earnings over the next few quarters. As we see these trends continuing to improve, we believe investors should ignore the sell in May investment adage. However, it's important to note we have now entered a seasonal period that historically marks lower returns and higher volatility. And volatility is something that we just have not been used to over the last few years. And naturally, the Federal Reserve decided some time ago that they wanted to smooth out the recovery after the crash of 2008. And because of those actions, we haven't seen the volatility, nor have we seen, large performance numbers in GDP during that time frame. Going forward, it will be interesting. Asia Pacific equities finished mixed on Tuesday. Early this morning, Caxton Manufacturing PMI declined to 50.3 during the month of April from 51.2 during March. Again, lower commodity prices across China were responsible for input prices falling to the lowest level in 7 months. Weaker demand in orders for April, as well as export orders decelerating, was also responsible for the PMI slowdown. Separately, the Reserve Bank of Australia left its cash rate steady at a record low of 1.5%, while striking a generally neutral policy stance. Minutes from the Bank of Japan, their March 15th and 16th meeting, showed most members believed it is still too early to raise interest rates. Lastly, Japan's services PMI fell to 52.2 in April from 52.9 in March. Europe, markets across the region had been higher after the May Day, Labor Day break. According to the Financial Times, last Wednesday's dinner between the UK Prime Minister Theresa May and Jean-Claude Juncker, the European Commission President, was constructive but tense. While May was eager to rapidly move on the Brexit negotiation process, the report highlighted that Juncker left the meeting more skeptical about the upcoming negotiations. The Financial Times article highlighted that the UK and the European Union appear to have two very different starting points and expectations for Brexit negotiations. Now, as we've stated in the past, unwinding four decades of interwoven relationships between the UK and the EU is going to be difficult at best. Investors, they should expect many more ups and downs in what is expected to be a two-year saga of tense and sometimes ugly negotiations on both sides. Separately, final Eurozone manufacturer PMI settled at 56.7 in April versus a flash reading of 56.8 and a prior reading of 56.2. Underlying components showed output, new orders, and employment rising at the fastest clip in 6 years. Lastly, Greece. You remember, Greece has reached a deal with the IMF and the Eurozone on a package of bailout reforms that will give Athens its third disbursement of funds, according to FactSet. However, the package, which focuses on labor energy reforms, pension cuts, and tax increases, still needs to be legislated before the Eurozone finance ministers and prior to funds being distributed to Greece. Have we heard that before? Importantly, the Eurozone and IMF still need to agree on medium-term surplus targets for Athens, as the IMF has still not agreed to fund a third bailout unless additional austerity measures are made and debt relief is granted by the EU. Boy, the more things change, the more they stay the same. So, Tony, let's see. What's going on the markets right now? Dow, down 18 points to 20,855. The S&P is down 3 to 2384. The NASDAQ, back up again in the green, up 3 points to 5633. So that's always good news. The FTSE, green, up 0.5%. The DAX is up almost 0.4%. The CAC is up almost 0.6, continuing higher on earnings. We like that. Looking at oil, down 21 cents a barrel to 48.63. Gold prices right now up 10 cents to 12.55.60 an ounce. And the 10-year Treasury yield, down 2.311%. So I wonder if that has anything to do with President Trump's statement that the U.S. government needs a good shutdown if Senate rules don't change. Evidently, the president is not enamored with the rules of the Senate. Antiquated, too slow, I think he says. I don't know if I agree. They are what they are, not to be easily changed at the whim of any politician. So, let's see. This is Joe Patton with Tony Clark. You are listening to Some Things About Money. I think we're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to spend the last half hour talking about some things about by the numbers. And we got some really cool tidbits of information that you might find interesting as it relates to labor, as it relates to banks, talking about college debt, tax data, you know, degrees from college, where money comes from, and a really long life. All right, we will be back after this break.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Senator John McCain saying he's disturbed by some of the president's recent remarks on other world leaders.
The statements and the comments obviously fly in the face of everything that I've stood for and believed in all of my life.
McCain speaking on MSNBC after President Trump makes remarks about being willing to meet with the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un, adding,
I would be honored to do it.
McCain also questioning Trump's decision to invite the president of the Philippines to the White House, as Rodrigo Duterte has been heavily criticized for his war on drugs, which has left thousands of people dead without judicial proceedings.
There's an expectation they will be treated fairly and with respect by the airlines and their employees.
That's Republican Pennsylvania Congressman Bill Schuster opening a House hearing this morning on airline customer service. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Allergies. Pollen in the air. Dogs in the house. Mold in the basement. Whatever triggers your allergy symptoms, it can really hold you back. Break through with Allegra 5-in-1 Relief. Allegra works fast, won't make you drowsy, provides 24-hour multi-symptom relief, and it's effective every day. Break through allergies with Allegra. Starts working in 1 hour. Use only as directed. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com.
This is Tony, and this is Some Things About Money. And we are in Flemington, New Jersey. It is 11:30 a.m., Tuesday, May 2nd. It's 68 degrees here in Flemington. And the weather today is partly sunny with a high near 71. Breezy with a west wind of 11 to 21 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 34 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 46, west wind 8 to 11 miles per hour. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 64. And Wednesday night, patchy frost after 3 a.m., otherwise partly cloudy and a low around 38. Thursday, the rain sets in, chance of showers mainly after 5 p.m., and patchy frost before 8 a.m., otherwise partly sunny with a high near 60. Thursday night, rain low around 49, and a chance of precipitation is 80%. The weekend looks like a rainy weekend. Friday, rain before 2 p.m., then showers again after 2 p.m., high near 67. And Friday night and Saturday and Sunday, more showers with a low around 51% on Friday and a low on Saturday and Sunday in the 60s. Chance of precipitation is 50%. We're back with Joe with Some Things About Money.
And we are back with Some Things About Money. I think, Tony, we'll start off with information from the Ameriprise Global Asset Allocation Committee. Right now, we're taking a look at some sector allocations and, well, overweight, equal weight, underweight. Let's see. What do we want to go with first? Let's start with the things they like. They like energy. We have an overweight position for energy. We have one in financials, healthcare. We are also overweight in information technology. Equal weight right now, that would be telecom, materials, industrials, and consumer discretionary, which has really had a nice pop recently. Underweight for our portfolios, that would be consumer staples as well as utilities and real estate. As far as globally, we still love investing in the United States. Things are starting to look up in terms of emerging markets as well, but we have the overweight for the U.S. with equal weights for Canada, Europe excluding the U.K., Latin America, especially Brazil and Argentina at this point, and Asia-Pacific, excluding Japan, as well as Japan. Underweight, well, we're not all that sympathetic with business investment in the Middle East or Africa at this point for obvious reasons, and not all that enthusiastic with Brexit hovering over the UK. So those are the two areas that we're a little bit underweight in as far as portfolio allocation goes. Tony, I think it's time for some things about numbers or by the numbers. And a lot of this information is actually brought to us by MFS. They do a great job coming up with these little tidbits. So let me lead off, with what's important. And that is that 54% of 4,200 American workers surveyed would switch jobs. And what would they switch jobs for? A better retirement plan. You would think it might be for other benefits like vacations or for more money, but it's for a secure retirement. And every time you look around on the newspapers or on the web, there's all these conversations out there about how Americans are under-saving as it relates to their retirement. Tony, one for you. Pick one.
All right. The federal tax code and the accompanying federal tax regulations contain 10 million words, a publication that would take the average reader, who can read 300 words per minute, more than 23 days of nonstop reading to get through and understand.
And you wonder why President Trump is talking about tax simplification. How many of you out there have taken the time to sit down for those 23 days of nonstop reading to find out what's in our entire tax code? I would probably venture a guess that the answer would be nobody.
Yeah, me too.
But the reward, well, not so much of reading the tax code, but 30% of American homeowners who are approaching retirement move. Well, I think that's especially true in New Jersey, given what our tax situation is here. Surprisingly, of the 30% that move, a greater number of homeowners buy a more expensive home compared to the number of homeowners who elect to downsize in retirement. And that seems to fly in the face of logic or our common beliefs that retirees have a tendency to want smaller space and, smaller space in an area that is not as expensive. But I would imagine with more and more of children moving back home after school, the need for that space continues. So, on the one hand, they want to move into an area that's more comfortable to have a retirement lifestyle in, but on the other hand, they want to make sure that there's that extra bedroom and bathroom just in case one or more of the children happen to come home. Next.
The 75-year average growth rate of the U.S. economy, which is the years 1972 to 2016, i.e. the gross domestic product, is 3.3% per year. So that's the average over 75 years.
Good average.
However, the actual growth rate of the U.S. economy has reached 3.3 or greater in only two of the last 16 calendar years.
That is not great. And unfortunately, that's something that we've heard an awful lot about, especially after we've gotten through the recovery of the 2008 first quarter 2009 recession. So getting back to an average of 3.3 would be good. Now, former Chair Ben Bernanke says he believes it's possible, although not likely, unless he sees some significant changes. So we'll have to see if President Trump's tax plan or health care reform is able to kick the economy back into gear. That would be a good thing, but at this point, we shall see. Let's see. We talk a little bit about the Federal Reserve's action and how that led to a flattening of the economy over the last 8 years. But it also did something else. It removed an incentive for banks to lend. Now, the 1% that the Federal Reserve currently pays the banks on the $2.185 trillion in excess reserves that the banks hold in the 12 regional Fed banks, and this is as of March 29th of this year. That is equal to $59.9 million in daily interest. The Fed began paying 0.25% on excess reserves in October of 2008, increased the rate paid to 0.5% as of December 17th of 2015, and increased again to 0.75% as of December 15th, 2016. Finally, it was raised to 1% as of March 16th of this year. So if you're wondering why they're not in any hurry to increase lending, it's because they're feeling really safe in an uncertain economic environment collecting their 1% on this huge amount of excess reserves.
Bears follow bulls.
Isn't that always the truth?
The average decline for the S&P 500 during the 11 bear markets that have taken place since the end of World War II is 34%.
And it's probably a little bit out of proportion given the size of the correction that we had in that 2008 recession. But nonetheless, the number is pretty close when you throw that one out. So it's been a while since we've seen a bear market. And people have a tendency to forget that the markets do fluctuate, even though if you look back over the lifespan of virtually any listener, even though we've had periodic blips in the market, whether it's the crash of 87, Resolution Trust scandal, Bear Stearns, Lehman Brothers, 9/11, looking at what happened with the housing crisis, all of those caused significant downturns in the market. But they all have one thing in common, of course, and that is that even though it was a major upset, all of those markets recovered and eventually went higher. So, you know, you may want to start changing your point of view as it relates to how you hold corrections, not as necessarily being a very negative thing, but being an opportunity to invest to build future wealth. Like we always tell people, buy low, and that is the opportunity. But you can't really buy that much low, although, you know, looking at tax data, the top 0.1% of U.S. taxpayers, and, you know, based upon adjusted gross income, paid more federal income tax, and that was $273 billion during tax year 2014. That's the latest year that tax information has been released. Then the federal income tax paid by the bottom 75% of taxpayers. And that amount totals to $182 billion. An example might be the top taxpayer out of 1,000 average taxpayers pays more in federal income tax than the bottom 750 taxpayers. Wow. That is a wow. And a thank you. I should go out and get a case of thank you cards and find out who all of these people are and throw a stamp on them, sign them, and mail them out because, you know, when the 1% gets to pay that much of the freight, you have to be impressed. Let's see, what else do we have? Dollar cutoffs. What is that? You know, for tax year 2014, the latest year that tax data has been released, it took 465,626 dollars of adjusted gross income to rank in the top 1% of taxpayers. 188,966 of AGI to rank in the top 5%. If you were making $133,445, that would rank you in the top 10%. And if you were only making $77,714 of adjusted gross income, that would rank you in the top 25% here in the U.S. So, I know 100 and counting, that doesn't appear to be all that much money for, you know, a good percentage of our population, but, you know, on a national basis, top 1%, let's see, 465, just under 466,000. Wow, let's all aspire to that. Tony, what else do you want to see here?
I'm going to talk about jobs.
Jobs.
Each 1/10 of 1 percentage point increase in our GDP, like 2% growth to 2.1%, due to a rise in manufactured goods, translates into 80,000 new American jobs.
Now, that's a Commerce Department number, so, you know, it's not something thrown out there by a political party. And that's one of the reasons why we're trying to get more growth in the GDP. You know, unfortunately, you know, we still have a lot of people who are underemployed in this country. The media sends out, you know, the headline unemployment number, and they keep telling us how it's coming down, coming down, coming down. But, you know, even in the cities where $15 an hour has become the minimum wage for flipping burgers, you know, it's still very difficult for people to feel financially secure on that level of income. So good paying jobs, good jobs, good jobs, good jobs, really, that should be the mantra going forward, not just any job. And unfortunately, it's the service sector, you know, the restaurants, hotels, traveling, those people who are responsible for such a large percentage of the job increases during this recovery, and those are certainly not the kind of high-paying jobs that will put you in the top 25% of adjusted gross income in the United States. The other thing that creates a problem for people, well, they're still putting it on the card. Credit card debt in the United States was over $1 trillion, $1,360,000,000 as of February 2017, and that is the highest level nationwide since January of 2009, when we were pretty much at the bottom of that crash. You know, largest recession since the Great Depression. So I don't think that people learned their lesson very well. You know, still sitting with $1,360,000,000 of credit card debt and growing. Now, one of the reasons why credit card debt might be growing might have something to do with college debt and the debt bubble that's been created of late. Of the 44 million Americans that have accumulated $1.31 trillion in student loans, just 16%, that's of the 44 million, have at least $50,000 of debt each. But collectively, this group has incurred 56% of the $1.31 trillion of student debt. And that's a Federal Reserve number out of New York. I mean, it's just, you know, throw on top of that the money that's been thrown on credit cards to help support the student lifestyle. And, you know, no wonder there's a lot of conversation about that as being the new problem, the new housing bubble, if you will. So parents out there, pay attention to this. It's not going to end well. Bubbles in general never do. So let's see. Talking about debt. Oh, zero. Two of every five homeowners, that's 41% between the ages of 65 to 74, and three out of every five homeowners, 63%, at least age 75, own their home free and clear of debt. Good job. Now, obviously, these are people who don't have to worry about college debt, and they don't walk around with a lot of plastic that they use. You know, they just focus on paying down their debt. It's one of the things about baby boomers. You know, they typically don't like to, you know, to carry around large debt numbers, especially as they're approaching retirement. You know, it just doesn't help you sleep at night. And, you know, I guess if you're not sleeping at night, you're not going to live that long life in retirement. Your turn.
Connecticut lawmakers are giving out some incentives lately. They are considering a state bill that would provide a state income tax credit that averages about $1,200 to students who stay in the state, in their state, to work following their graduation from a Connecticut college with an associate's, master's, or bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree after January 2018.
So you see, it's not just New Jersey that's having the problem, especially Hunterdon County, with losing their young people to other states that have lower costs of living and honestly, much higher standards of living for the money that it costs. So, it's an interesting concept. But you have to wonder whether or not that's the real reason why these people are leaving.
And is it worth $1,200?
Probably
their income is probably way more than that they can get elsewhere.
Yeah, no, that is true. So we're going to continue with some by the numbers when we come back from this break. You are listening to Some Things About Money.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
All right, we're back to Some Things About Money. You're listening to Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner from Patton, Heidi & Associates, located at 1318 Route 31 North in beautiful Annandale, New Jersey. And if you'd like to have a conversation with us, give us a call at 908-713-6600 or check out our website. We have some tremendous articles about all aspects of financial planning. And, you know, that deals primarily with education, which I mentioned earlier is something that both Michelle and I have backgrounds in as it relates to the Financial Education Resources Group when we were part of American Express. That was fun way back when. Well, let's see. Why don't we try to do a bit of an update here, Tony? We're looking at the Dow Jones Industrial Average. That is now currently at over 20,900, up 19 points when I last looked. The S&P pretty much flat to red. The NASDAQ flat to green. Europe, love Europe. Europe did a good job today. Everybody's up over 0.5%. Oil still down 37 cents a barrel, 48.47. Gold up 40 cents an ounce to 12.55.90. 10-year treasury yield at 2.307. And let's talk a little bit more about numbers. Smaller group, bigger piece. People with disabilities make up 15% of the 72 million Americans who are Medicaid beneficiaries, but they incur 40% of total Medicaid spending. Not inexpensive to collect anything on Medicaid that's health-related. Which one do you want to mention?
One low, one high. Usually a low national unemployment rate is coupled with a high inflation rate, i.e., more Americans working creates greater disposable income, which leads to higher demand for products, which tend to move inflation upward.
That's how inflation works.
As of April 30th, 2007, the nation's unemployment rate was 4.5%, considered low, and trailing one-year inflation using the Consumer Price Index was 2.6%, considered high. As of March 31 of this year, the nation's unemployment rate was 4.5%, and trailing one-year inflation was 2.4%.
Not bad. Of course, everybody's talking about the need for higher inflation. Well, maybe not higher inflation, but higher growth. And that's not necessarily the same thing. And you really don't need a fancy degree to figure that one out. Speaking of fancy degrees, 222 members of the 535 members of Congress, that's 41%, hold a fancy degree. Well, it's a law degree, including 55 of 100 senators, according to Congressional Research Service. So we have a lot of lawyers. Ergo, the opportunity for many lawyer jokes, but we're not going to tell any today.
As of April 21st of this year, only three banks in the United States have failed year-to-date and required a bailout from the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. As of 4/21 in 2010, 50 banks had failed year-to-date. Just five banks failed during all of calendar year 2016.
So putting banks through the stress test and requiring much higher reserves has helped significantly. That and the fact that the economy, you know, has turned the corner, albeit, you know, not that quickly, and things have stabilized. So that is good as far as the larger banks are concerned. Now, smaller banks, on the other hand, who were not responsible for derivatives and credit default swaps and all of the other problems of the housing crisis back in 2008, you know, they're still being gobbled up by the larger institutions, and, you know, they're having issues with all of the regulatory requirements layered on them, even though they were not the ones who caused the problem. So when you look at the compliance expenses and all of the other layers of departments that are now necessary given the regulatory environment placed upon the banking system, it's no small wonder we're seeing fewer and fewer local banks, especially here in Hunterdon County. And what we do see opening up are the, you know, are the Chases of the world, or the larger institutions, and, you know, more and more of the smaller banks that we grew up with are now gone. Too bad, especially since the smaller banks had the personal relationships with people who wanted to buy a house or start a business, and, you know, that's just becoming more and more difficult for people these days, especially as banks are getting that 1% free money for just having cash sitting there doing nothing. 5,000 a day. 1.7 million more Americans are employed as of March 31st, 2017. We talked about that earlier. More than were employed as of March 31st, 2016. That's an increase of 4,655 new jobs per day. There were 153 million employed Americans as of March 31st of this year, compared to 151.3 million Americans as of March 31st of last year. Boy, are they building more and more fast food places. And because of that, I guess we don't have enough workers. 73% of contractors surveyed in January of this year said they had a hard time filling salaried or hourly craft construction jobs. And that was in 2016. And the source for that one was the Associated General Contractors of America. And talking to a number of our clients who are in the trades, you know, they talk about that all the time, how, you know, they're not finding the people that they need. I mean, there are a lot of day laborers that you could pick up on the corner, but that's really not legal. But as far as the other people that you want to build back into your business, it's getting tougher and tougher. You know, when we had the crash back in 2008, a lot of people were placed on the unemployment lines that had been working for contractors who no longer had the work available to them. But rather than sit around and do nothing, they started their own business. So now you have a lot of people who have less than 10 years of experience, 5 years of experience. They're out there competing for the available work and also competing for the available labor.
Now renters are outpacing homeowners. At the end of 2016, there were 118.6 million households in the U.S., split 64-36 between homeowners and renters. Since the end of 2011, 5 years earlier, the number of homeowners, 75.3 million as of December 2011, has increased by just 300,000, while the number of renters, 38.8 million as of December 31st, 2011, has increased by 4.2 million.
And I think they're all trying to squeeze into Hoboken and Jersey City. Well, I think we're going to end the show with one last by-the-numbers report. And it has to do with what we talked about earlier. Start saving now. Why? Well, the average cost of tuition, fees, room and board during the 2016-2017 school year at an average four-year public college was $20,090. And that was up 4.6% per year over the last decade. If that same rate of inflation continues over the next decade, 1 year of college at an average in-state public college will cost $31,440 during the school year of the 2026-27 year, according to the College Board. And you wonder why we keep offering you the opportunity to give us a call at 908-713-6600 and talk about these things, as well as how that type of tuition cost is going to impact your retirement, which could be the largest event of your lifetime. You've been listening to Some Things About Money. This is Joe Patton with Tony Clark, Patton Heidi & Associates. Want to remind you to get out there. It's a pretty good day today. It's a great day to shop, especially if you're in Hunterdon County. So remember, get out there, buy Hunterdon, buy often. Have a great week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Senator John McCain saying he's disturbed by some of the president's recent remarks on other world leaders.
The statements and the comments obviously fly in the face of everything that I've stood for and believed in all of my life.
McCain speaking on MSNBC after President Trump makes remarks about being willing to meet with the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un, adding,
I would be honored to do it.
McCain also questioning Trump's decision to invite the president of the Philippines to the White House, as Rodrigo Duterte has been heavily criticized for his war on drugs, which has left thousands of people dead without judicial proceedings.
There's an expectation they will be treated fairly and with respect by the airlines and their employees.
That's Republican Pennsylvania Congressman Bill Schuster opening a House hearing this morning on airline customer service. This is USA Radio News.
Are you dreaming of a summer vacation? It's time to stop dreaming and start booking. Hi, I'm Jen O'Neill.
And I'm Jeff Manheimer.
And we're the founders of Tripping.com, the world's largest site for vacation rentals.
With more than 10 million vacation rentals to choose from, Tripping.com makes it easy to find the perfect beach house, lake house, or condo for your big summer vacation.
And with access to all of those properties, we can tell you that now is the time to find the best places and the best prices for your dream vacation rental.
That's TRIPPING.com.
To find the perfect place to stay, go to Tripping.com today.
Oh, fresh powder. I'll get the skis.
Ugh, I can't.
Winter nasal congestion. Is it A, cold, B, sinus pressure, C, allergies?
I'm not sure.
For all of the above, the answer is D, Allegra D, a maximum strength decongestant plus a powerful non-drowsy antihistamine for 24 hours of relief.
Feel better?
Yep.
feel like racing?
Hey, wait. This winter, the answer is Allegra D. Look for Allegra D at the pharmacy counter. Use as directed.
President Trump's to speak with the Russian President Vladimir Putin in a phone call at noon Eastern today.
It'll be the first time the two leaders have talked since Trump ordered airstrikes on a military airbase in Syria.
A man accused of shooting and killing one person and critically wounding a Dallas firefighter paramedic yesterday had a long criminal history and once chaired the new Black Panther Party of Dallas. That's according to the Dallas Morning News reporting Derek Brown was found dead at his home. Along with that other victim, he'd apparently taken his own life. As for a mass shooting at a San Diego apartment complex on Sunday evening, police now say it was not racially motivated, as some had earlier thought.
The victims were targeted for no other reason but their mere presence in the vicinity of the suspect.
Chief Shelley Zimmerman says Peter Sellers was distraught over a recent breakup. The white gunman shooting and killing